Let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we've been out of this series. I'm bummed about it because I've enjoyed this series so much, and I'm looking forward to us kind of getting traction when I get back from the Philippines to getting back into this and just kind of have some consistency. So what I wanted to do this morning is I wanted to kind of just do a overview. I wanted to take us back down the journey that we've taken over the past 9 weeks and remind us of the truths that we've learned about prayer to kind of bring it, to collect it all together before we kind of move on to the next phase, the next stage about prayer. So let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 1, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the lesson this morning. Father, we love you. We're so thankful, God, to be here today, and just love your church. And thankful, Lord, that of all the places you could have put us, that your Holy Spirit put us here at the Lighthouse, and so many people come through and remark at what a special place this is. And it's only special because of you and what you've done. I pray you bless our class time. Help us to consider the subject of prayer. I pray that you would bring these things to remembrance and just encourage us and stir us, Lord, in our prayer life for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. So I've kind of taken a lot of what we talked about. There's some new things in here as well. And I've kind of tried to break it down into some categories to just simplify all of this material that we've covered. And we'll start with this point one. Let's talk about what prayer is. Okay, now remember, I'm not going to cover all that prayer is, but specifically what we've talked about in this series. We said this at the very beginning, letter A, that prayer is a response to God. Prayer is a response to God. In Romans 1:21, the Bible says this, speaking about the heathen of the earth, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Here's what prayer is. Prayer is when God reveals himself to you, you respond by glorifying him. In other words, it is us responding to the revelation of himself. You know, prayer is not you and me initiating with God. It is not you and me finding God or discovering God or pursuing God. Prayer is God revealing himself in our conscience, in creation, and leaning us and drawing us to him. And prayer is us responding to God's working in our life. Now, with that being said, though, he said this. He said they didn't glorify him as God, but became foolish in their imagination. So you know what they did? They still did pray. They just prayed to someone that wasn't God. They prayed to who they thought God was. Okay? Now, remember this, that the effectiveness or the efficacy of our prayer depends on the biblical nature of the response. So prayer is responding to God, but it's not just any response. It's not just make an idol and pray. It's not speak a chant. What makes our prayer accurate, what makes our prayer real, is we must respond to God according to what the Bible tells us about God and how we come to God. And so God must be glorified as the God that he is. In other words, you can't just pray to the God that you want him to be, or that's not prayer. You have to pray to the God that tells you this is who I am. And God must be approached in the manner he demands, not through idols, not through any other means, but through the person of Jesus Christ, right? In the manner of prayer that he prescribes. So remember this, prayer is a response. It's not us initiating, it's us responding. Number two, letter B, we said this, prayer is a duty and a delight. Prayer is a duty and a delight. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to notice verse 17. He's giving all these commandments. These are not suggestions. We talked about these. These are not, hey, this is a good idea. These are commands. And he says this, pray without ceasing. Okay, now you can read that and think that Paul is saying that we should just be like always praying and never stop. I mean, that wouldn't make a lot of sense. Because, like, literally, Paul's probably not praying right now as he's writing that letter, right? The idea is this, is that prayer should be a consistent part of our life, and there should not be seasons, there should not be gaps in our life where prayer is not present. It should always be a part of our life. And in this sense, it's a duty. Now, we talked about this, remember this. It's not a duty in the sense that if we don't pray X amount of times, we've committed sin. See, that's where you're going to get yourself in trouble, because you're going to start feeling in debt, and you're, it's going to mount up. It's not a duty in the sense of, okay, I need to pray X amount of times a day or I've committed sin. It's a duty in this, in that I should never feel like it's okay to not be a person of prayer. You see the difference there? There's a difference between saying, oh, I didn't pray today, I've sinned, as opposed to, I didn't pray today, I should be praying today. You see the difference? We should never relieve ourselves or alleviate ourselves from a sense of duty to prayer. It should always be a part of our life. It is a duty that we must at times pray, even when we don't feel like it. You know, in Romans 15:30, Paul said this, striving together in prayer. You know that word striving together? Striving speaks of effort and war and pushing. In other words, prayer is not always easy. Prayer is not always something we just naturally feel. Sometimes we have to strive and make ourselves pray. You ever been there? Come on now. It's not always about, oh, I feel warm and fuzzy, I'm going to pray. No, there's a striving aspect where it's like, you know, I don't feel like praying, but I'm supposed to pray. I'm going to pray. I love this quote. Prayer is always hard work and often an agony. We sometimes have to wrestle even in order to pray. When those hours of the day in which we should be having our prayer sessions with God, it often appears as though everything has entered into a conspiracy to prevent it. You ever felt like that? It's like, you know you're supposed to pray and there's a conspiracy on the planet to stop you from praying. We often wrestle in prayer just to concentrate. Your thoughts flip back and forth between God and the many pressing duties which await you. While God can and will grant times of peace and tranquility, no Christian outgrows the need to struggle and persevere in prayer. You're never going to come to a time in your life where you're not going to sometimes have to struggle and persevere in prayer. There are going to be times you're going to feel like the disciples, where Jesus says, watch and pray, and you're wanting to go to bed. But we should do it anyway, because it's our responsibility. But while our prayer is our duty, number four, our goal should never be for that. Our goal should always be for prayer to be a delight. While yes, we pray because we know we're supposed to, and yes, sometimes we pray to strive, We should never just want that. We should desire to be pursuing and developing a prayer life that is delightful and enjoyable in our life. I love what he says. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Go to Isaiah, then Jeremiah in the Old Testament. The very next book after Jeremiah is Lamentations. It's the lamenting of Jeremiah. And I want you to notice what he says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41. In the Bible, a lot of times when people think of raising their hands, they often think of kind of this modern charismatic deal of singing. But actually in the Bible, when people were praying, it was when they were raising their hands in prayer. And it was a symbol of purity. It was a symbol of holy hands. That's why James talks about men with holy hands. All right. And so he says this about prayer in Lamentations 3:41. I love this. Let us lift up our voice. Is that what it says? Let us lift up our what? Our heart with our hands unto God. He doesn't just say, hey, let's just pray. He said this, let's pray with our heart. Let's give God our feeling. Let's give our God our emotion. In other words, prayer is not, though prayer sometimes is a duty, that should never be our goal. Our desire should be to pray with feeling and heart. And we talked about this, that the Word of God can aid us in heart-stirred prayers. There is, in my opinion, there is nothing that will help your prayer life better more than when you read your Bible first and you let the Word of God stir you up to pray. The Word of God, that's one of the reasons why people talk about altar calls and it being emotional. It's emotional because we just had the Word of God speak to us. That's what the Bible does. People get all weird about that, like we're not supposed to be emotional. How are we supposed to lift up our hearts if we don't let God touch our hearts? So the Word of God stirs up our hearts. And here's what happens. A lot of times, what begins as a duty, how many times have you had this? What begins as a duty becomes a delight. I've had times in life where I pray, and at first I'm just like battling, and I'm warring, but then as I get into it, it's like the Lord gets a hold, and all of a sudden it's a delight, and I'm enjoying myself. Austin Phelps writes of watching people in the Royal Gallery at Dresden sitting for hours before a single masterpiece painting. He says, weeks are spent every year in the study of that one work of Raphael. Lovers of art cannot enjoy it to the full till they have made it their own by prolonged communion with matchless form. He tells of a conversation with one of the painting's admirers who said he spent years looking at the painting and yet found it possible over and over to discover some new beauty and a new joy. You know, prayers like that, that if you'll just give the time and the effort and the energy, that you will discover something new and something wonderful and something blessed about the Lord all the days of your life. It's an amazing thing. So prayer is a duty and a delight. Letter C, prayer is conversing with God. Prayer is conversing with God. Look at 1 John chapter 1. If you're awake, say amen.
Amen.
1 John chapter 1. And look at verse 3. He says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the who? The who?
Father.
The Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know what they describe their relationship with God as? Fellowship. Now, I don't know about you, when I talk about having fellowship with someone, hey, yeah, me and so-and-so got together and had fellowship, I don't picture me sitting down at a table and talking the whole time. Right? Now, I didn't say we sat down and I talked to them the whole time. I said we sat down and we had fellowship. What does that imply? It implies fellows on the same ship, actually, is what that means. Being together, striving together, working together, enjoying each other's company. John said this, prayer is not us talking, it's us fellowshipping with God. It's conversing with God. Now, in order to converse with someone, you know what you have to know? Their language. And we're going to go to the Philippines. One of the things I'm thankful about is that most people there speak English. Actually, I get to preach in English. So this is going to be really weird for me. Normally, I go to Asia, I have a translator, and I try to learn a little bit of the native language and try to speak some things and, you know, try to impress them. And then I have a translator after like 5 seconds and we get into it. But I'm going to get to speak to them in English. I got to go slower than here, but I get to speak in English. You go to a country and you have fellowship. The basis of that fellowship, right, is the ability to speak the same language. You got that? All right, listen to this quote. If the goal of prayer is a real personal connection with God, then it is only by immersion in the language of the Bible that we will learn to pray. Perhaps just as slowly as a child learns to speak. This does not mean, of course, that we must literally read the Bible before each individual prayer. A sponge needs to be saturated in water only periodically in order to do its work. We can cry out to God all during the day as long as we regularly spend time in His Word. So now notice again, 1 John, he said this. He said that we have fellowship at the end of verse 2 with the Father. And then look what he says in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. In other words, do you know what they needed to have the fellowship? They needed to have the truth. They needed to be able to know the language of God. They needed to understand how you have fellowship and what that fellowship looks like. In order to converse with someone, you must speak the same language. And in order to converse with God, we must speak the Bible language. We must know who God is. We must know what God wants. We must know what pleases God. We must know the heart of God, the passion of God, the desire of God. We must know the Word of God. And it doesn't mean, as he said, I love what he said, you take a sponge. You don't have to put the sponge in every second. Once the sponge is full, it will do its work for a period of time. It doesn't mean I always have to read to pray, but it means this, that if I stop reading, my prayer life is going to suffer. And there are some people that are speaking elementary prayers to God because they're not growing in their understanding of the language of God. And the more you know God and the more you understand God from His Word, the deeper and richer your prayer life will be in what you ask for, in how you praise Him, in what you know He's trying to accomplish, in what He thinks about things. The more you know Him, the better you will be able to listen and hear His voice. It's conversing with God. Letter D, prayer is adoration. Prayer is adoration, confession, thanks, and supplication. Now go to Matthew 6. And we did this. Matthew chapter 6. Whew, I might have bit off more than I can chew. This is a big one. This is a long lesson. Matthew chapter 6. Man, when I typed it, it felt like I could fly through this. There's a lot here. Matthew 6, verse 9. He says this. Remember, we talked about this. It took us 2 weeks. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's adoration, right? It's recognition of who we're talking to. It's recognition of who we are. We're the sons, the daughters. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, right? Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, these elements that Jesus gave us, you can do them individually. You can just have a time where you praise God. You can just have a time where you confess. You can just have a time where you ask Him for His direction, or you seek Him about something. You can have a time where you bring a petition. But here's what I do want you to understand, that these elements of prayer are interactive and actually help the other. In other words, when we comprehend God's greatness, here's what it does. It leads us to grasp our own sinfulness. It helps us remember the one to whom we're trusting our life into. Then a deeper recognition and a repentance for sin issues makes us thankful and wonder at God's grace. The more we see God's power, the more we will want to depend on Him for our needs. All these ways of praying to God should be present, interactive, and balanced. In other words, they all help the other. If you see the glory of God and the love of God, you're not going to be as afraid to say, thy kingdom come. But if you don't think that God's a loving Father, how are you going to say, thy will be done? Right? If you don't recognize the hallowedness of God, you might not see your sinfulness. And if you don't see your sinfulness, you might struggle to forgive someone else for theirs. All these things are linked. Doesn't mean you have to pray all of them all the time, but it does mean that the Lord gave them to us because He knows that they interact and they complement each other. So that's what prayer is. It's a response, it's a duty, it's a delight, it's conversing. It involves adoration and confession and supplication and thanksgiving. What does prayer require? Number two, what does prayer require? The first one, the obvious one, letter A, is grace. Grace. John 14, 13. John 14, 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, Jesus is speaking, that will I do. His name. His coming in His authority, coming through His access. In other words, Jesus is our doorway to God. You know, I don't know if you've had someone tell you this. Go, when you go to so-and-so, tell so-and-so I sent you. They'll take care of you. You ever heard that? Now, I don't know if, sometimes I've done that and I haven't really been taken care of, but sometimes it works out. Hey, go ask for so-and-so. Tell them I'll take it. Matter of fact, I just had this happen. So I've got clothes at the cleaners that I'm supposed to take with me to the Philippines, right? So I go to pick them up yesterday, and I'm like, hey, I'm here to get my clothes. He's like, oh, they're not going to be ready till Monday at 4:30. I'm like, well, that's not going to work. I got to leave Monday. I'm pulling out Monday at 12:30. So I need them like Monday at 9:30. And he's like, oh, you know, he's giving me. I'm like, look, if you can't get them to me, I need them right now. Just give them to me. I don't care. If they're soaked, I don't care. Just hand me my clothes. And he said, no, I'll take care of it. And then he said this, if my son answers the phone, tell them that your dad said X, Y, and Z. Did you get that? In other words, you come through my name. Because if you come through your name, you're probably not getting your clothes at 10:30. But if you use my name, you're going to have your clothes. Why is Jesus saying that we use his name? It is because we only have the ability to pray because of him. Because of his grace. Because of what he did for us on the cross. So we have to come with grace. We have to come through him. Letter B, prayer comes with the right heart. Prayer comes with the right heart. Proverbs chapter 30. This was one of my favorite lessons that we've done so far in the series. Prayer comes, letter B, with the right heart. Notice Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. That is not the right verse. Oh, my soul. Is it 33? That's what I'm looking at, but I don't see the verse. David Hetzer, just give me one second. Oh, yes! Verse 7. Oh, thank you. Verse 7. Two things have I required of thee, deny me not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Now here it is. Now give me, right? That's like a prayer. I need this of you, Lord. But give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I love this. Here's what Solomon said. I have things that I want for you, that I want from you, but they are subservient to me wanting you. In other words, anything that I ask you for will only support my love for you, not take away from my relationship with you, because you're more important than anything I want. He cared more about his love for God than the status of his wealth. And what he asked for, get this, what he asked for in mind that only that it would support him in his relationship with the Lord. We have to come with a heart where we love God more than anything we're going to ask God for. And here's how we know if that's true. When God doesn't give it to us, do we abandon him? I prayed for God to do this for my son. I prayed that God would do this situation. I mean, I literally had a guy come to church in Sri Lanka. I'll never forget this. This guy came to me. He shows up in church. He's like, I'm coming to church because God answered my prayer, got my son a job at the airline. And I was like, okay, that's great. He's like, so I told God I'm going to serve him and I'm going to be here. I want to come to the office. I want to help you. I don't even know this guy. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do all these things. I'm like, okay, that's great. And then you know what happened? 3 weeks later, his son got fired and he stopped going to church. Hey, we can be just that same way. What we ask from God should never be more important than God himself. So we must come with a heart that says, no, I want these things. I really do desire these things, but I don't desire them more than I desire you. Then let her see, and we'll stop here. Prayer requires accepting weakness and dependence. I love this quote. Prayer and helplessness are inseparable. Only he who is helpless can truly pray. Remember Naaman struck with leprosy? Asked for God to heal him. prophet says, go wash in the Jordan. He's like, you're crazy. Couldn't you like send me to like some spa somewhere a little nicer? I'm not interested in that. Why? Because I'm above that. And God says, listen, I'm not helping you until you realize you really need me. And it wasn't until he humbled himself and saw that this was his only way to healing that God helped him. A lot of times in prayer, we still think that we can do. We still think we can perform. Matter of fact, and we just kind of put prayer. We have all these hooks. You know, like fish, you know, we have all these hooks in the water, and prayer is just one of them. And if God doesn't answer right away, it's okay. We got these other solutions. But I'm just telling you, as long as you have a bunch of hooks in the water, God's not going to help you. God wants to be the only hook in the water. Where you say, it doesn't mean you don't plan, it doesn't mean you don't try, but here's what it means. It's you realize that anything that's going to come comes by you and only by you. Prayer recognizes, here's how helpless we are. We even recognize that we don't even know how to pray as we ought, and that oftentimes the Holy Spirit fixes our prayers. We think so much of ourselves, it's like we don't even really know how to pray. Like, I can't wait to see how many of my prayers the Holy Ghost is like, look, you, oh man, let me show you what you really should have said. That's how dependent we are in prayer. That God gives us the Holy Ghost to fix our prayer life. Aren't you glad he does that? Amen. And so this morning we see what prayer is. We see what prayer requires. Let's pray and we'll get ready for worship. Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for prayer. And what a privilege. Pray, Lord, that you'd grow our prayer life, develop us, prepare us for worship to come in Jesus' name.